Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Ganesh. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say. And yes, this being the 90th year, the Prashantinilam calendar is indeed occupied like never before. There are so many programs happening in Prashantinilam. A friend of mine who just landed in Perthi today, as he stepped into the ashram, he just said, "I don't know why, I feel so peaceful here." He's come from Abu Dhabi. He said, "I'm feeling so joyous here. It just feels like my soul wants to sing." There is something about Prashantinilam. And I said, no wonder. This is Prashantinilam. This is the abode of peace. And in this year, you can actually feel the vibes more, because Prashanti is always bubbling with activity. It is bubbling with joy all the time.
It is a moment of celebration, a moment of jubilation, of joyous inspiration. It is 90 glorious years of Satya Sai, 90 glorious years of pure love penetrating a million souls in a million ways. The Radio Sai team humbly bows down at his lotus feet in this landmark year of his divine anthem.
Yes, celebrations are galore, and it is happening not only in Prashantinilam, but it is happening everywhere. Everywhere where there is love for the Lord. Everywhere where Sai resonates in people's hearts. And especially in the places where Swami has personally visited and stayed and made those places his abode, celebrations in this year are even grander. And today you saw the culmination of one such grand event that was going on in Vrindavan, in the ashram in Bangalore for the last 12 days. The sublime spiritual spectacle, the Atirudra Mahayagnam, when it was held for the first time in Prashantinilam in 2006, on August 9, 2006, Swami had declared, "This yagyam is being conducted for the welfare of the world." This is a very important aspect of this yagnam. The Atirudra Mahayagnam protects and fosters the divine nature in human beings while rejecting and diminishing the demonic qualities. Thus, it works for the welfare of humanity. Now, let me share with you something beautiful that happened this morning. Like every day, I switched on Radio Sai at home, and my thoughts were all on Atirudra, because just the previous day I was in Vrindavan and I slept with those scenes in my mind, and I woke up with those thoughts of the beautiful sacrifice going on there. And in the morning I switch on Radio Sai, and what comes on air is the morning Bhagavan's discourse, where Swami is emphatically stating, "All my wishes, whatever I do, it is only for Loka Kalyanam. It is only for Loka Kalyanam. There is not a trace of selfishness in me." Frankly, I was stupefied. I just became still, and I was transfixed to the spot, and I continued to listen further. And it was so profound. It just set me thinking the whole day. And I thought I should share with you this clip before I go on to share with you what transpired within me today about the Atirudram.
Divyatma Swarupulara, meeru nammavachu, leka nammakapovachu. Mee nammakamato naaku emaatramu avasaram ledu.
Divyatma Swarupa, you may believe it, you may not believe it. I am not concerned with your beliefs.
Naa endu ye anumaatramaina kudunu swartham anetundi ledu ani devulu patti cheptanu.
I can state it with great stress that in us there is not an iota of selfishness.
నేను ఏ పని చేసినప్పటికీ, ఏ విధమైన మార్గమును అవలంబించినప్పటికీ, పరుల ఆనందం కోసమని, పరుల సంతోషం కోసమని పరువు సౌఖ్యం కోసమని, పరువు సద్మార్గము కోసమని నేను ప్రతి ఒక్క చిన్న కార్యము కూడాను నేను పూనుకుంటున్నాను.
Whatever work I do, whatever path I adopt, even the smallest thing that I do, it is intended for the happiness and bliss of others. It is intended for the prosperity of others.
Inkemina vanchala anetundi daninda vancha anetundi em velam maila duram kodanu naayaka deentante kanipinchadu.
If we talk of desires, no desire of any kind at any time in my life can never be seen.
Na vanchala anni kodanu loka kalyana vanchale.
All the desires in me are for the prosperity of the world.
Na uddesham anni kodanu lokodharam uddeshame.
All my ideas and all my thoughts are for the promotion of good in the world.
Loka samasta sugino bhavantu annade sai yokka dheyam.
Sai's objective is that all people of this world be happy.
Kanukane ee naadu lokodharam jaragalante kevalam అనేక రకములైనటువంటి యొక్క ప్రయత్నముల చేత కానీ లేక ప్రణాళికల చేత కానీ ఇది లోకోద్ధారం జరిగేటటువంటిది ఇది అసాధ్యం.
ఇఫ్ ది వరల్డ్ ఈస్ టు బి మేడ్ టు ప్రాస్పర్ అండ్ ఈస్ టు ఇంప్రూవ్, ఇట్ ఇస్ నాట్ పాసిబుల్ టు డూ దట్ బై ఎనీ ప్రోగ్రామ్స్ అండ్ బై ఎనీ.
మానవుని యందు మానసిక పరిణామం ఏర్పడినప్పుడే ఈ లోకము యొక్క క్షేమము, లోకము యొక్క కళ్యాణము ఏర్పడుతుంది.
Only when there is a transformation in the minds of men will the prosperity of the world become possible.
Manasu pavitramaitundiga leka enni pranalikalu manam pettinappudiki ivi kevalam oka vidhamaitundi kutramaitundiga ane roopinchutayi.
If the minds are not sacred and they are not transformed, whatever programs of action you may have, they will turn out to be
anukari. Yuvakulaneetunte varu paavi bharatoddharakulu kanuka varini uddarinchi, వారిని అభివృద్ధిపరచి, వారి మానసిక సంస్కారములు చేకూర్చి, తద్వారా భారతదేశం యొక్క సౌభాగ్యాన్ని దేశ దేశములకు కూడా పంచాలి, అందించాలి అన్నటువంటిది సాయి యొక్క ఉద్దేశం.
బికాస్ ది యూత్ ఆర్ ది ఫ్యూచర్ పర్సన్స్ ఆన్ హూమ్ ది రెస్పాన్సిబిలిటీ ఆఫ్ రెనోవేటింగ్ ది కల్చర్ ఆఫ్ ఎ ల్యాండ్ రెస్ట్, ఇట్ ఈస్ సాయిస్ ఐడియా దట్ దిస్ యూత్ should be so trained that they will improve the world and improve the country and that in the world.
Na kirisampadalanni kudanu vidyarthule.
All our wealth and property consists of students only.
Na aasaranni kudanu vidyarthula paina nenu aadharapadi untundani.
All my hopes for the future depend on the students.
Varini chakkaditti లోకానికి సరైనటువంటి ఆదర్శ పాత్రుగా నిరూపించాలని, తీర్చిదిద్దాలన్నటువంటిదే సాయి యొక్క సంకల్పం.
సాయిస్ ప్రోగ్రామ్ కన్సిస్ట్ ఇన్ కరెక్టింగ్ ది స్టూడెంట్స్ అండ్ ట్రాన్స్ఫార్మింగ్ దెమ్ ఇంటూ ఐడియల్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్స్ ఫర్ ది వరల్డ్.
కానీ సాయి యొక్క ప్రేమతత్వాన్ని కానీ, సాయి యొక్క విశాలమైనటువంటి భావతత్వాన్ని కానీ గుర్తించుకోవటం చాలా కష్టం.
బట్ టు రికగ్నైజ్ ది ఆస్పెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ లవ్ ఇన్ సాయి and the broad ideas and thoughts which Sai propagates is difficult.
So that is an excerpt from Bhagwan's 55th birthday discourse delivered on November 23rd, 1980. And so many salient things emerge in those 4 minutes of Bhagwan's discourse. First, Swami very clearly says, desire is something alien to me. There is not even a slightest trace of self-interest in me. Second, all my wishes are only to promote the welfare of the world. Whatever I do, whatever paths I may pursue, what everything that I am engaged in is only for the good of all. It is only for samasta loka sukhino bhavantu. It is for loka kalyanam, loka kshemam. Not a single action of mine is undertaken for the satisfaction of my own personal desires. And the previously Swami says, I don't know what is desire. If there is any desire in me, it is the desire of the welfare of others. The third point, now very clearly Swami says, how to achieve this loka kalyanam, how to ensure that everyone in all the world is happy. He says it cannot be done by undertaking some endeavors or planning about it and going about it with some efforts and with some projects. He says it can happen only when a spiritual revolution takes place within every man. That is what will ensure prosperity and welfare of the world. And the mind of man is to be reformed and purified. Swami says, only when the mind of man is reformed and purified, then all the other plans have any meaning. All plans to reform the world otherwise will be futile. And finally, Bhagwan talks about one of the most salient purpose of why he adorned a human frame. He says Sai's main purpose is to develop the minds and attitudes of young men on right lines so that they may work for the progress and welfare of the country, to reform them and to train them to serve as exemplars of righteousness is Sai's sole resolve. And the last line, so beautiful, Swami says, you can never understand the universal prema tattva, the true principle of love that is Sai. Each one of these points in this 4 minutes discourse is so powerful, and in today's discussion, as we discuss about Atirudram, by Bhagwan's grace, we will touch upon all these aspects. And you know how we are going to do this? We will do this through the experiences of so many people who have been blessed to witness and be part of the Atirudra Yajnam. So today, in this episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside, we will get an overview of what Atirudra means to so many people who have attended this. We listened to many voices captured in Vrindavan over the last few days, learn from their experience about this great sacrifice and what it does to us individually and collectively. We will begin with a live conversation with Brother Amey Deshpande, who was there in Vrindavan yesterday. He was there for the whole day and also participated in the music program that happened in the evening. And after that, we will listen to many youngsters who spoke their heart out about what Atirudra means to them. They were all from different parts of Karnataka. We will also listen to some foreigners, devotees from Russia, Slovenia, Hong Kong. So all that in store for us in this last episode of Thursday Life, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is 8:52. And as I just mentioned, today we are going to discuss about this magnificent sacrifice, this universal prayer for world peace, Atirudra Mahayajnam. And Brother Amey Deshpande is here with us in the studios to share about his reflections and his insights, how he felt being in Vrindavan. Welcome, Brother Amey, to the studios.
Thank you, Brother Bishu. It's always a pleasure.
So tell us, you were there yesterday for the whole day, and the evening program, of course, was the icing on the cake. It was such a fabulous program. But before that, how was it sitting there inside Ramesh Hall and being part of this amazing yajnam going on there?
Yeah, and it was absolutely wonderful and very elevating. Like all the yajnams, in fact, which are done in Swami's presence, because Swami has always given us the real meaning, the true meaning of yajnam, which means actually sacrifice.
Yes.
And in fact, I think if we keep that in our mind while we are sitting over there, it makes so much of a difference. Rather than, you know, otherwise you just see pieces of wood going into, and then ghee going into, and a whole lot of things going into. But Suna Swami has told us that, in fact, that is the sacrifice of our evil tendencies into that fire and then purify ourselves is the true meaning of yajnam. And so whenever I sit for any yajnam, though we are not part of the Ritviks, the Ritvik team, that is what goes on in my mind. I take this opportunity to put all our evil tendencies, all the evil tendencies that I have, plenty of which are still there around, and just hope that, you know, we are getting purified through that process. So it's always a very elevating experience to sit in any yajnam, in Swami's presence especially, simply because, you know, Swami has given us the inner significance. I think the more special thing about this Atirudram was that it was in Vrindavan. You know, and Vrindavan has so many, many memories. In fact, this was the time, March, you know, would be a time when Swami would be in Vrindavan.
Yes.
Typically, after Shivratri, you know, any time it would be, especially when we were in Vrindavan, we would wait, you know.
And start praying intensely, because this is the period your prayers can actually get fructified.
Correct, correct. You know, any which day you will get a call or something like that Swami is coming tomorrow or today he is coming. And so, even as I was approaching towards Vrindavan, in fact, now Vrindavan has changed so much. You know, the whole white field, that area, it's become densely populated with, it's become a concrete jungle. It used to be actually a jungle.
Yes.
When Swami, you know, when we see in Madhuvan Sanjari.
Absolutely.
And now it's become a concrete jungle, and you know, I used to really miss those trees and those, you know, the countryside of Bangalore city. But now it's teeming with, you know, vehicles and pollution and all that. So I think something like an Atirudram was very, very necessary for Vrindavan also to, you know, kind of relive a little bit of the magic that that used to be there in Vrindavan. And so even as we approached Vrindavan, hoardings, you know, of the Atirudram and Swami's pictures all over the road, that was a welcome sight, which used to be the case when Swami used to be there. And, you know, just every step of the way from Gokulam to the ashram, you know, Gokulam is where we were staying, and the canteens, you know, bringing so many memories. You walk past Rajmata Garu's house.
Yes.
And then you have memories there. In fact, Rajmata was the one, the whole land belongs to her, and she offered it to Swami, and Swami very graciously accepted that land. And we would, oftentimes during our student days, we would see Swami at least once, you know, in the year, he would go to that house and bless all the, you know, all the
family. He stayed there when the Traibundavan was being constructed.
So, yeah, plenty and plenty of memories. I think that is the most. And, you know, the whole thing teeming with activity and people running around. It was so much as if, you know, Swami is physically there.
Absolutely.
Definitely he is omnipresent. But, you know, that added tinge, the added magic was there.
Yes.
You know, and I felt so happy for Vrindavan, and I felt so happy that I was a part of that that activity.
Amazing. In fact, you know, Amay, as you mentioned this, I must share that as I was talking to many people and asking them about this experience of being in Atirudra in Vrindavan, many of them, especially devotees who have had Vrindavan darshans and who have had those moments of being with Swami, they all refer to this aspect, you know, that today they feel that they have come back to that real Vrindavan. They feel they have come back home. Because for all these people in Bangalore, you know, for them Vrindavan is home.
Correct.
They have seen Swami only in Bangalore, and they have seen Swami only in Vrindavan.
Yes.
And so, you know, all these people, they say, we used to not like to go to Vrindavan because it used to always bring us those memories of Bhagwan, and Bhagwan is not there. So it was actually a very, very sad experience. So many people used to not come to Vrindavan because they don't want that feeling of missing Swami so much. But this was an occasion when so many devotees I spoke to said, this was one occasion when we felt that we have come back again to that old Vrindavan.
Very true. Actually, I feel kind of that is not the way we should really think. We should not be missing Swami, because Swami, where is he not?
Absolutely.
And
this was just one sentiment that was expressed.
True. No, I mean, oftentimes I keep hearing this, because otherwise in Prashanthi Nilayam it would be very difficult.
Very difficult.
Especially for, I think, some of us who are, for whom Swami was not just the Lord, but he was also a part of our daily routine.
Yes.
You know, morning, evening, darshan was almost mandatory.
Yeah. I mean, you stayed back because you thought you'll see him every day.
Every day,
morning,
exactly.
Evening.
Yeah. Yes. So, but yeah, definitely that magic was created. And I think, Vrindavan, that the ashram was also breathing. After 6-7 years, I think the last time Swami went was 2008 or 2009.
Yes, 2008.
2008, yeah. Yes. So after, I think, 7 years, I think Vrindavan was breathing again.
And the whole place was sort of energized.
Energized, absolutely.
With activity.
Yes.
I think
yes.
that was something...
And you know, the whole... There are several things, you know, this bringing Swami in the Palaki.
Yes.
And then establishing him there. And yes. then that iconic throne of Swami that
yes.
we have only seen photographs of.
Yes.
And actually, you know, one of the things that, this was my first occasion that I actually went close to that throne. I have only seen Swami sitting on the throne. And I have only seen pictures of Swami sitting on the throne.
Yes.
But yesterday when we were going and offering, up, I actually saw the throne and it was so small. You know. I mean, I felt that was one of the things that I felt that, oh, this is actually so small. Yeah, Swami himself was also, you know, his physical stature was so small.
Yes.
But when you see photographs, it looks like a grand throne. And Swami, I think, has that ability to, anoraniya mahato, he can make anything which is small also, he can make it look big.
Yeah.
So, yeah, amazing. I think, yeah, I was blown over by the whole magic
yes.
That the place was...
Yes. I think the timing, the place, the occasion, everything was sort of so perfect fit.
Perfect,
and
yes.
you mentioned that, you know, in the evening you were going to Bhagwan to offer the rose before the program. So tell us about this program, because everyone who was part of it, everyone who witnessed this, they were so much in joy. I think the program moved on from one song to another onto a crescendo. Finally, you had the bhajan medley, and I think everyone was just in ecstasy, lost in that feeling of that was another experience where you could really relive those musical moments that you used to have with Bhagwan, and you were so much part of it. So tell us how was it planning for this program and finally offering at the Lotus Feet?
Well, Bishu, just like all other students' programs, you know, we lack. I definitely lack the kind of musical acumen that is necessary to be performing at that level. And I think it is sheerly the love of Swami, and I think more so the love of Swami seated in the hearts of devotees that actually tolerate a whole lot of us, you know. I think because we have love in our hearts and it resonates with the love that is there in the devotees' hearts, that's why all students' programs, you know, people love it. Because
yes.
we are all their children.
Yes.
In many ways, we are all the devotees' children. The devotees
yes.
like us. They love
yes.
us. They love Swami.
Yes.
And I think that is the beautiful feeling that ignites. And I feel that is what everybody says, oh, students' programs are very good. I personally feel it is really about just connecting to Swami. Maybe, you know, people who cannot appreciate music are also able to enjoy it because the lyrics are so... So we generally choose songs which have very rich lyrics, because Swami used to be very,
yes.
You know, he would be very, ask us to focus a lot on the lyrics of the song. Other than that, I think the only thing that we had in our mind was to cover different genres of music. Generally, you know, a Carnatic maestro comes and he sings all the Carnatic songs.
Yes.
Now, there would be a person, like you said, you know, from Slovenia or from Russia, who may not be able to resonate with those kind of songs.
Mm.
So we should have, so Swami has always trained us that there should be something in it for everyone.
Yes.
Because everyone is trying to reach out to Bhagwan through these songs. These songs are the carriers of their prayers. So that is why we chose a Tamil song, because Bangalore has a large Tamil population, Telugu obviously, and Kannada, and Hindi, and then of course bhajans, which are our
yes.
global carriers of,
yes.
of prayers. So that is how we made it. And then of course we have some tremendously talented brothers, you know, with us, and whom Swami, I always refer to Brother Ashwat Narayan as Swami's personal MP3 player. He knows more than 100-150 songs by heart.
Yes.
And in fact, I have seen Swami almost showing off Brother Ashwat, you know, in front of
yes.
big dignitaries,
yes.
saying that this boy can sing in all languages. And so we
yeah.
have brothers like that who are super talented.
Mm.
And so it becomes that much more easy, in fact. So,
yeah.
yeah. And then I think more importantly, knowing or trying to picturize how Swami would have reacted to those,
yes.
To those songs, that becomes one of the chief criteria for us to select a song.
Yes.
What would be Swami's reaction, you know, when we are singing this particular line,
yes.
what would have Swami done? For example, a Shiva Shankari which was sung yesterday. Yes. I think the only thing we used to, you know, Swami would just break out in the pride that he had.
Absolutely.
For the way, you know, the particular song is sung. And so that will be in front of our eyes.
Yes.
And then you sing a very simple, maybe a very lilting tune like Janani Janani.
Yes.
And you just know that Swami, you know, will be just closing his eyes and all the thousand mothers' love just pours forth. Mm. So I think that is what resonates, and that pretty much was how we selected.
And it ended with a bhajan which everyone could finally participate in.
Correct, yes. Bhajans, in fact, are, I would say, our universal language of Sai devotees.
Yes,
to
absolutely.
To communicate.
Absolutely.
I have seen some incredible things that bhajans do. Just to share one quick example, I remember when I was in Vrindavan, on Sundays when we used to have Akhanda Bhajan, that is all day long bhajans.
Yes.
So we were sitting in the afternoon and we were singing. And this gentleman from Brazil, he came because he was wearing a Brazilian scarf. And he came there and, you know, he was trying to tell us something. He was trying to ask us something. And he was barely able to speak English. And so with great difficulty, we kind of understood that he had bought a harmonium.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some problem in the harmonium.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did not know what to do with it, you know, how to get rid of the problem. And so then, you know, so through sign languages and, you know, through this and that, we finally managed to communicate to him. But I think what really, you know, touched me over there was this person is coming from the other end of the world. Brazil is virtually the other end of the world. He barely knows how to speak even English.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, the attractive magnetism, the magnetic power of Swami has pulled him literally over seven seas. What is this magic? What is this magic? You know, and he comes
and
there
sing bhajans.
And he wants to sing bhajans using an Indian instrument like harmonium. You know,
amazing.
So that is something that really touched me and continues to touch me.
Yes.
That's the power of bhajans.
Absolutely. I think among the so many gifts that Swami has given us and he continues to give us, and this bhajan is something that, you know, always, every moment you feel grateful to Bhagawan for having given us this beautiful medium. Thank you so much, Brother Amay, for sharing these few experiences of being there with Vrindavan. I know there is a lot more stored in your heart, and we'll preserve that for another day. We'll go on with many other devotees' experiences that we have recorded. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, brother. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Sayonara. So, dear listeners, that was Brother Amay Deshpande from the Department of Management Studies, Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Prashanthi Nilayam. And as I was just mentioning, we took this opportunity to record and interview many devotees who were in Vrindavan, who have been attending this Atirudra Mahayagnam for the last 12 days. And we had a Radio Sai volunteer, Mrs. Lalita Shekhar, who took time out and every day did these short interviews with devotees from all over the world. And three questions she asked all these devotees. First is their experience of being in Vrindavan. Secondly, how did they take to understand that this yajnam contributes to world peace? What is their take on that? How do they perceive that? Do they believe in it? And finally, what was their takeaway of participating in the yajnam? So let me begin by the first conversation that she did with an engineering student from Bangalore. Her name is Sai Manasa. We begin with what this youngster has to say about Yatirudra Mahayagnam and being there in Vrindavan Ashram.
Sai Ram, my name is Sai Manasa and I am an engineering student from Bangalore. I am studying in a college that is very close to the Vrindavan Ashram. So that must have given you a chance to go to attend the Atirudra Mahayagnam that is being performed at Vrindavan? Yes, because of the proximity of my college to Vrindavan, it is very convenient for me to go to the Rudram whenever I'm available, or whenever I have off from college. Even if we don't have off, we take off and go. That's nice. So tell me something. How do you feel attending the Atirudra Mahayagnam? What is your personal experience of attending it? Personally, I would like to say, I mean, before I tell you, I have always felt a very deep fondness for the form of Lord Shiva. Like, if I was to worship a physical form, that is, you know, our Swami, I like to believe Swami is Shiva. So I am very, very attracted to Lord Shiva. So any puja or anything that has to do with Lord Shiva, I always make it a point to go there and attend it, because personally I feel very happy and very blissful when I attend such things. So I really had to go and see the Yajna. Okay, so since that form and name is your personal favorite, you must be feeling very, very happy to be there. Yeah, because every time I go to a Shiva temple also, I feel so blissful. If there is an Atirudra Mahayajnam happening, I knew I had to go there and be there. That's very nice. I'm very happy that Swami had given you a chance to attend this. Yeah, I thank Swami at the end of it, whenever I get to go. Great. So, since you're a college student, let's say, if someone asks you this question, that how do you think, now, since Atirudra Mahayajnam is the main purpose of it, is said to be to attain universal peace and well-being. We all know that since Swami had mentioned it so very clearly. Now, any one of your friends or associates asks you, how do you think pouring so much ghee and other items into a sacrificial fire will help in universal peace and well-being? What do you answer for that? I say you're only looking at one part of it. What about the vibes that they're giving off doing the yajnam? That is the main part, right? You don't simply go there and feel blissful. You feel blissful because the vibes there are so beautiful. And if you're sending more of that out to the universe and the earth could really use some of that. So that is how we heal. Mm-hmm. By sending out good vibrations. And so many people have come together to do this for world peace. Doesn't that say something about, you know, what we want to do for people and what we're trying to send out? You can't just look at the fire and the ghee and say, how is this helping? Okay. So you feel that there is an inner significance to it. Yeah, exactly. Good. So you must have attended the Atirudram. Is there anything that had particularly caught your interest or particularly influenced you in a very positive way? Since there are so many segments of the Yagam that are happening, you know, Yagam and then Ashtavadhanam and Homam, so many things. Any particular scene or aspect of it that had influenced you in a very positive way? The very fact that it is held in Vrindavan, I consider Vrindavan to be my home. So the whole idea that it is held there itself, it's what attracted me to go there. Like if half of it is the Yajnam and the Rudram, half of it is going home to Vrindavan and be sitting where Swami sat, and, you know, we saw where he walked and we have memories there. Oh, this is what happened here, this is what happened here. So it's just like Swami is there with you at that minute, and that is what makes you really happy. Okay. Because you can feel his presence in the Yajnam.
Oh, that is very nice to know. So you could feel Bhagwan's presence in the Yajnam.
Yeah, definitely. And every time they raise their voices and in unison, and they drop their voices in unison, and it gives you goosebumps really to sit there and listen to that.
That's nice to know. After attending the Atirudra Mahayajnam, see, every experience we learn something, we take something from each and every experience of life. What is it that you are taking or learning from this experience?
Well, personally, ever since the Yajnam started, or I think even from a few days before that, I was feeling a little disconnected. But, you know, once I went there, I went home, I saw Swami, like I could, you don't see his physical presence, but you just see him, you know, like mm-hmm. you saw where he sat, you saw where he walked, and you just feel like, you know, we don't realize it, but Swami is a lot closer to us than we know. And we don't have to go and see his form to know that he is with us. It's something I took away, is that Swami is always with us. He's always, you know, protecting us, and he's always, there are so many tiny, tiny things he does in a day to make you happy. And I have begun to acknowledge those things after going there. And I used to take them for granted earlier, and I used to find something to crib about all the time. But now it's like every small thing he does, I just sit and thank him. I have nothing else to do. I just thank Swami, and I'm just thankful.
So he's there. This experience has made your connection with him stronger, your bond?
Yeah, I would say that. It has made our connection stronger. And I can, you know, I just walk around the house talking to Swami sometimes. And it's very nice. And it's like having a companion who never leaves you. He is a companion who never leaves us. But you just feel a lot closer to him somehow.
It's just that it helped you to realize that he is the companion who never leaves.
Yeah.
So that was Sai Manasa from Bangalore. an engineering student who attended the Atirudra Mahayagna, and at so many levels, as you see, this yagyam has had impact on her. Apart from the fact that Shiva is her favorite and that has helped her to just worship Shiva in such a grand way, it has helped her to connect with Swami because it's being held in Vrindavan. Just like Brother Amay said, for devotees who have had darshan in Vrindavan, this was one occasion to just connect with Bhagwan once again. And the other most beautiful thing that Sai Mansa said, as you heard, is it has helped her to begin to acknowledge Bhagwan at every point of time during the day, to thank him, to think of him and to thank him. Well, we don't know what the yagyam does. You don't know what positive vibes it creates. But we do know this much. It does something. It does something positive. Let's listen to one more youngster, Nagashruti, a software engineer. What is her experience of being at the Atirudra?
I am Nagashruti. I am from Shimoga. I am a software engineer by profession. And also I am into music for the past many years. I am currently pursuing my Master's in Music from Chennai University.
Master's in Music?
Yes.
Oh, very nice. So, do you attend bhajans or do you sing?
Yeah, I love singing.
Oh, great. That's why obviously you are doing Master's in Music. So, you have been attending the Atirudra Yajnam at Vrindavan.
Yes.
Can you please tell me, share with us your experience of attending the Atirudra Yajnam?
Definitely. I think the crowd which was in the Vrindavan today probably speaks everything what's going on here. Swami being the common factor, only probably he is the only sole refuge who can bring so many people to the same place. Probably nobody else can do this miracle. Because of Swami, all of us have come here. The most beautiful thing is, by Swami's grace, we could sense the positivity in the hall. Also, the uncompromised priests are probably delivering their best. And they are chanting the mantras in the pinnacle of their voice, probably not compromised even till the end of the program. It is definitely adding more energy and vibrance to the entire program.
Yes, sure, I agree with you. The more you listen to them chanting, the yes. more energetic you become.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, yajna and other rituals in our culture are said to be done mainly for universal well-being, which we call as lokakshema.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that it does help in universal prosperity and well-being?
Yeah, definitely. As we probably understand, the result is probably not very instant. Eventually or gradually, we do feel the results. Just for example, we have a saying in Kannada, Kere Neeranu Kerege Chelli. Everything which I have received from the Lord should be given back or should be submitted to the Lord.
Oh, beautiful.
Okay. So probably, just to give an instance, when we throw seeds to get the plant, we never think that it is wasted. We know that it germinates somehow the other day.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, just to give an instance, the flame that is received from the Yajna is definitely bound to go back to sky and form clouds and give us rains. Probably the positivity surcharged in the Yajnam goes to clouds. It positively gives rain which is full of positivity. And it is consumed by the grains, and probably at the end it is we who consume the grains and probably become more positive. An individual transformation, as we all know, leads to transformation in the family and then in the society. So probably the positivity which we decide to imbibe from the yajnam here is going to be a very good transforming agent.
That is very nice. It's a very normal way of looking at it. It's a whole cycle.
Yes.
Good. Tell me, Nagashruti, what is the one moment or one ritual or one scene that had appealed most to you during this yajnam or which had influenced you in a very positive way?
Yeah, probably, as I told you, the uncompromised priest chanting probably took me more focused in the yajnam. Even when I was diverting, probably their voices brought me back to the path. The other thing which attracted me very much is the foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
I see so many oozing out to the hall, so many abroaders oozing out to the hall. Their dedication and their enthusiasm to know our culture is probably very appreciable. Also, I could observe their attention and concentration while chanting the Rudram or also while meditating. They never probably slept in the middle. They were very determined. Mm-hmm. I think I should work more on learning those lessons from them. One more thing which I would like to carry out from the day I leave Vrindavan is, even without knowing the meaning of the Rudram, we are able to understand its potency, or at least experience the potency. If we go ahead and try to understand the meaning of the Rudram, probably we will be more benefited. So I would just decide or take some resolution to go dive deep and understand what it says actually.
That's very nice.
So we just take a resolution to repay at least in some terms to Swami.
That is so beautiful. That's a very nice thought.
So that was Nagashruti, a software engineer from Shimoga and doing her master's in music. And the few things that she said, one of course is that positivity that the yagyam creates, and that she believes how the positive vibes in the yagyam will become clouds and then rains and grains and come back to us. And her resolution to understand Rudram and chant Rudram. And the other thing that she mentioned is how there were so many foreigners who were so interested in Indian culture, so interested in chanting and doing it with so much of due diligence. That, she said, is one thing which captured her. And in fact, I think this is something which would catch your attention, which caught your attention if you were in Vrindavan. Because you saw so many people looking at their faces, you know that they come from different parts of the world. Somebody from Russia, somebody from Hong Kong, somebody from Japan. And all of them are so sincere, you know, sitting for 6 hours, 7 hours, and so focused on what is happening there. You know that they want to make best use of the opportunity. And we thought we must document what is it that is inspiring them to be there in Vrindavan, and what is it that is propelling them to focus on this yagyam with so much of sincerity. So we had conversations with a few foreigners, as I mentioned before. There were devotees from Russia, from Slovenia, from Hong Kong. Let me play for you one conversation that Mrs. Lalitha Shekhar had with Maria from Russia.
I'm Maria. I came from Russia. And I come to Ashram to Sai Baba many years. I came first time 1997. This is that time I regularly come to get darshan Sai Baba, and I regularly come to sing Vedas. Mm-hmm. And now I came here in Vrindavan because I have opportunity to sing Vedas here on this Atirudra Mahayajna. Uh-huh. And
so you like to listen to the Veda?
Yes, I like it, and many Russian people like it too. Mm-hmm. Now here you can see 100 Russian people who came here specially for this event from Puta Party. Mm-hmm. And all these people you can see on darshan, they keep in the hand book with Veda chanting on Russian language.
Oh.
Yes, because we have very good book on Russian language that we can very easy to learn sing Vedas.
So any specific reason why you are so fond of Veda chanting?
One of the reasons, because Sai Baba told everybody to start learn to sing Vedas. And one woman from Russia got a dream, and Swami came to her dream and said, please start translate Vedas to Russian language. Yes, it's a very nice lady from the town Cherepovets from Russia. And this woman made a big seva, because she really made a big job, and she translated all Vedas on Russian language.
Oh.
If you come on Puta Party, you can see hundreds of Russian people who very easy sing Vedas, because it's a Russian language, it's Sanskrit, it's a quite similar language. Mm-hmm.
So you are here attending the Atirudra Mahayajnam in Vrindavan. And what is your feeling about attending it? How do you feel about sitting here and just witnessing the ritual?
You know, first time I came here, I remember my first film, I was a little bit you know, Puta Party. When you come to Puta Party, you feel yourself happy and peaceful. But when I came here, I didn't feel like this, because it's another energy here. But when started this Atimaha Rudra Yajna, I started feel this beautiful energy of Shiva, because we here pray a lot. Mm-hmm. And many people who came here, they are full of love, and they are full of worship to God. And so, here you can see not so many people, but all people who is here, they want to really worship the God and pray the God and sing Vedas. Every day I see how all women who sitting on women's side, they just sing and enjoy. They smile, and you know, if you see darshan last for 7 hours, and I see that everybody full of power. Everybody ask, who gave us this power to sit 7 hours and be happy? And everybody knows that it's God gave us power to get this experience.
So true. Yeah.
Yes, so I want to say that God gave us power, and we enjoy together with God.
That's so true. Beautiful. So, since you're so fond of Vedas and Veda chanting, let me ask you. It is mentioned in the Vedas that any ritual that is done, especially the Atirudra Mahayagnam, is mainly specifically done for universal peace and well-being. Do you believe that this yajnam will help in
explaining
that?
Yes. You know, I want to tell you, I understood one thing, that we always pray for yourselves, for our families, for friends, for some difficult situation. But here is a chance for us to pray for the world peace. Because I know if you pray for world peace, this world peace comes to your heart. It is very important.
Yes, yes.
This is the answer.
Beautiful. What is the one moment or one scene or one aspect, any one aspect of the yajnam, that had appealed most to you, that had influenced you or made you very happy about being here?
Yes. Also, what, except that we sing Vedas, except this, we can listen how Brahmins pray the God, how they sing, chanting Vedas. Mm-hmm. A lot different types of Vedas. This really, how they sing, let us enjoy, you know, enjoy this, just enjoy, because I see that people, when they start singing Vedas, just Brahmins, I see how people sit, smile, relax, and start be one, start feel love. Is this what Swami wanted from us? That,
right.
Because if we are here in so big love together, if we are here one, it's Swami wanted that we started be one in broad peace in the world.
True.
Is that why I feel exactly this the purpose of this yajna?
Very nice, very nice. So the Vedas that are being chanted at the end of the yajna, which is all the Rig Veda, Sama Veda, each Veda, a little bit of it, which is called Ashtavadhanam, you liked it a lot.
I like, especially when I started first Veda, which I started singing, it was Narayana Upanishad.
Oh.
Yes, because somebody told me that, I read somewhere that Narayana Upanishad includes all Vedas. So when I started to learn the most important Vedas. And after that, because Swami say start to learn Rudram, Chamakam, and because in ashram a lot, every day we sing this, I started slowly sing Rudram, Chamakam, in all program, because every day we have different programs, and we enjoy to sing it. Because if you stay here, especially Russian people stay here all winter for 6 months, mm-hmm. it's a good opportunity to learn it. Because if you come home, it's not easy, even you have CD disc, but it's not easy to motivate yourself to do it.
Right.
But here you have motivation. Motivation, every day you come on darshan and do this for God. Not only for yourself, for God, because you want that God enjoy you. Because you know that Swami listen to you. If you don't think, He doesn't listen to your voice at the moment. So, because one day I had experience with God, that God showed me that He really listen us. some people who just go and don't say nothing, it looks like this. But if you walk around Ganesha, for example, you sing something, sing Gananam, any Vedas, you sing, and I realize that God listened to us this moment. This was my nice experience. And after that experience, when I come to Darshan in Mandira, I always sing in Bhajan, in Vedas, in Sai Gayatri Mantra, because I know that God exactly listened my voice. So this was really, really, it was my experience in Putta Party. But it's because one day Swami showed me how he see us. Yes, just a piece of his divine game. Just see how he look and see some people smile, some people don't think, sleep, talk. And I see what I am doing this moment. Do I pray to God? Do I sing? It is when I saw this, when I got this experience, I started sing always.
Oh, that's so nice. Please tell us, what is the one thing, or what is the feeling that you're going to carry home with you after this experience here?
I think it's peace. It's a world peace. Because really, if you come here, you're unhappy or you worry about something. Because this type of event, they also, people when pray a lot, they start to see their own problems, mistakes, or some character problems. And it's just here to change itself. I changed and I started to be happy here. I started to be satisfied here. And when I am full of love and peace, I can come home and bring them this in my family, to my friends. It's not necessary to speak something special. Just be in peace, be in love, and show the understanding. Because we are all one. And God just play different games with us. Because the same God talks through us. You talk with me, I talk with you. It's the same happening everywhere.
So nice.
So that was Maria from Russia. And when we started this program, I mentioned to you what Bhagwan said in that divine discourse, in the discourse that I played. Swami very clearly said that this yajnam is for lokakshemam. And Swami said all these endeavors of lokakshemam will bear fruit only when there is transformation. And how this yajnam contributes to the transformation is what we have been listening. When you listen to all these voices, whether it is Nagashruti or whether it is Sai Manasa or whether it is Maria from Russia, Maria is saying that I have now learned to be more understanding. I have learned how to always remember that we are all one. I am carrying home with me peace. Sai Manasa said, I am learned to once again befriend God. And you have Nagashruti who said, I just want to go and be more serious about chanting these mantras and internalizing them. And all of them, Nagashruti and Sai Manasa, they are youngsters. There are so many youngsters. And in that discourse, Bhagwan says that I am here to reform the youngsters. I am here to ensure that they become exemplars of righteousness, that they become useful, enlightened citizens of this country. And that is what is happening. So beautifully, unimaginably. We do not know how a Atirudra will contribute to this, but it is doing. And it is doing so subtly, but so powerfully, so silently, but so strongly. Maybe I will end with one more short conversation. There are so many, but maybe we'll have to preserve that for another session of Outside Inside. Let me pray for you what Divya Krishna from Bangalore shared about her experience of being in Vrindavan the last 12 days.
My name is Divya Krishna. I am the youth coordinator of C.V. Ramanagar Samiti and also a youth of Sai Darshan Indranagar.
So you have been attending the Atirudram in Vrindavan, right?
Actually, I've attended the Atirudram, which took place first time in Parthi also.
Oh, in 2006.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So, this is the second time that I'm attending the Atirudram, which is held in Vrindavan.
That's great. So, how do you feel attending the Atirudram? Just being here, what is your feeling and experience of it?
I can say the atmosphere is really nice, peaceful, divine, and heavenly. And yes, you can feel this divinity within you and Swami's presence everywhere.
You could feel Swami's presence everywhere.
Yeah.
Great. It's very nice to know. It is said that all the yajnams and yagas, especially the Atirudra Mahayajnam, is done mainly with the sole purpose of universal peace and prosperity. So how do you think that the yajnam will help us in achieving that?
Rudram itself, I feel, is the destroyer of whatever bad karmas or whatever bad acts that we do. It helps us in destroying good. So the word Rudra itself means the destroyer of evil.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that when you chant those mantras, you can feel the echo in the hall.
Mm-hmm.
As well as you can hear the chanting outside the mandir also. I feel it's not just beneficial to the people around you. Prayer is something which comes from your heart. So when you pray it from your heart, then naturally that heart-to-heart connection between you and Bhagavan, which gets established, is connected to the whole world, since Bhagavan resides in everybody, in every atom of this world. So your prayer, when it connects to Bhagavan, then naturally you're praying for the well-being of all the living beings in the world.
Right.
You naturally take care of all the creatures, be it a non-living or living. So I feel that way, yes, Rudram is meant for universal peace.
Great. That's a beautiful thought. Tell me, Divya, what is the one scene or aspect or part of the yajnam that appealed most to you, which had influenced you? And
so many scenes, I can't just tell one single thing. I feel the main thing was when they were doing the yajnam, you know, when they were feeding it with the various offerings,
mm-hmm.
the way the fire was coming up, it was like as though Bhagavan is coming and taking your offering.
Oh.
He's assuring that I'm not physically with you people, but I am there atmically always, you know, connected with you people, and I'll take care of you. Even if you don't pray to me or even if you pray to me, both the times I'm always behind you. You just need to look back. You need to feel the divinity within you, and you need to establish that connection between you and Bhagavan.
Very nice. It's very nice to know that. Tell me, Divya, what is it that you're taking back home with you after attending the Atirudram?
I'm taking back my Swami.
Oh.
So that was Divya Krishna. She just could so strongly feel Bhagavan there, and she says so beautifully, I'm taking back my Swami. That is how strongly she felt Bhagavan's presence in Vrindavan. And the one very beautiful thought she expressed is, once you pray to Swami, you pray for the whole world, because Swami is connected to every atom of the universe. You don't have to pray to every atom. You don't have to pray for every living being. All you have to do is just pray to Swami, and that's how you pray for everything in the universe and every being in all corners of this cosmos. Isn't that such a powerful, beautiful thought? It's unimaginable, as I just mentioned, how a sacrifice of this nature contributes to positivity around. How the beautiful energy emanating from this yajnam seeps into our thoughts and translates into such loving words, shows itself as such beautiful thoughts, and will lead us to noble deeds. The power of Atirudram is something that we can never ever fathom, just like we never fathom the darshan of the Lord, but we know it does something to us which the soul knows, which the heart knows, and which the mind can feel. So dear listeners, today the Atirudra Mahayagyam concluded in Vrindavan, but the experiences, the memories and the impact that it has had on people will continue, and it will stay on. And I hope to bring more of these experiences to you in the future episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. I hope to have conversations with people who have been part of this yagyam, working behind the scenes, so that we also learn about the making of such a grand, beautiful spectacle. So let's hope to Bhagwan that we can continue this discussion on Atirudram and use this opportunity to purify ourselves.
He is our voice. He is our breath. In loving Him, we found a meaning in our lives. In serving Him, we discovered a purpose. We rededicate ourselves to Him in this 90th year of His divine advent.
So with that beautiful dedication on 90th birthday, as the clock ticks on, I take leave. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. You are listening to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, the last segment on Thursday Live. Thank you so much for being with us all through the day. Even as I sign off, at 9:45, you will listen to a drama by students of Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School presented on 26 January 2010. The title is Sai, the Savior. So dear listeners, please keep in touch with us. Do write to us by writing to listener@radiosai.org. Everything that you write to us is very valuable. It is what Swami is telling to us through you. Let us remain connected, always, heart to heart, love to love. Finally, from all of us at Radio Sai, on this beautiful Thursday, loving Sai Ram and good night. Jai Sai Ram.